Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is the best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show. So thank you, Michael, for joining the show today.
Thank you for having me here today.
Now, Michael has got an amazing story, guys, okay? He's had a bit of a funny ride. It's been up and down for him over the past few years. And now he's like reached a point where he's just incredibly successful in what he's doing. And it's kind of doing interviews of other marketers and bringing them to the audience, which is an amazing thing to do because it's like mediapreneur. I've made this word up. I thought it's quite quirky for 2014. But mediapreneur, actually interviewing your way to success. So we're just going to talk about that. But before we do, Michael, if I can just ask you to share your journey. Were you working? Were you in a job? What was your situation?
Sure, I'll kind of start out my journey. I don't know how far you want to go back and how deep you want to get with it, but you can kind of lead me through it if you need to. To where it kind of starts is I graduated university. I graduated from James Madison University in Virginia back in 2003 with a degree in English and in Spanish. I had no interest in anything to do with business or affiliate marketing, right, or interviews or any kind of media stuff like that at all. What happened is after that I moved to Prague, taught English there for a year, went back home and found out that my brother, who's about 4 years older than me, he was making between $100,000 and $300,000 a year as an affiliate for a magazine distributor. So all he was doing was driving traffic and selling magazines and pretty much just taking the affiliate commission. So I thought that was incredible. I had kind of gotten slapped with the fact that money was important to live a comfortable life and to be able to enjoy things a little bit easier. So that's kind of where, back in 2004-ish, I started diving into internet marketing, diving into the whole trying to make money online, be able to be your own boss type of thing. Then I got into doing, I think I started out with some AdSense. A couple years later on, I was doing affiliate marketing where I was driving traffic with AdWords, with Google AdWords, to affiliate offers that were paying about $1.50 per lead. And doing that, amongst a few other things, I ended up getting to an income of about $100,000 per year doing that. But as we all know, Google likes to come around and mess us up a little bit. Google changed their advertising program in 2008, I believe it was, and I lost a lot of my ability to drive traffic to my offers. So I was kind of back down to normal. Luckily, I had saved most of my money that I earned, put it in the bank, and so I wasn't going out and buying nice cars, nice TV. I didn't even own a car, actually. I had a car, but I ended up giving it away to my family because I didn't need it anymore.
Right.
So
a couple of things before you go on, Michael. So first of all, online marketing is kind of new to a lot of people. People don't even know about it. So obviously, it was your brother that inspired you. So that's kind of good in that way that you've got someone in your family already doing it. So it gives you that kind of exposure. And secondly, when you did start, why did you choose to do AdSense? Because from reading your background, you actually launched up to 600 websites in niche markets. What made you do that? Why did you go for that approach?
Yeah, AdSense is one of those things. At my peak, I had 750 AdSense websites, but that was back in 2000. That was about a year ago when I had all of those. But I think AdSense for a lot of people is just one of the easiest ways to get started because you don't have to worry about converting the traffic into buyers. It doesn't matter if someone goes to your website and clicks on the link, and it doesn't matter if they buy or not, you're going to get paid regardless. That's beautiful. Right, all I had to worry about was, okay, I need someone to come to my site, click on the ad, and then I get paid. It doesn't matter what they do. So that's, yeah, I think that's why it's definitely a great way for newer people to start.
Right, okay. And then Google gave a slap. Unfortunately, Google likes to give slaps now and again to people doing very well. But yeah. How did you cope with the loss then? When you did lose the rank? Right. Did you get the last question?
You asked me how I dealt with Google slapping me?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, did it put you off the whole online market? Because it's a lot of time and kind of energy and that hope that, you know, everything's going fine. And then all of a sudden it just kind of drops. I mean, how did you kind of cope with that? Did it put you off?
Yeah, I've had to start over a few times now with my whole journey. Like the time in 2008 when I had my advertising taken away from me and I lost my income there. Then I had a time in 2012. It was September 26, 2012, when I lost an income stream that was worth. I had made $17,000 in profit in 1 month in July previous to that slap. So I was kind of in an upward swing. I was on focus to be making probably close to $200,000 a year if it had kept on going. So how was I able to deal with that slap? First, when you're doing this kind of a business, you need to be prepared to deal with these kinds of situations of Google coming in and taking it all away, of an affiliate marketing, of an affiliate network closing down, of your email provider going down. You need to be prepared for all of that. It was demoralizing, of course, but luckily I'd started doing my show already. I'd started doing my show previously that month, so I had kind of the ball rolling, so I was starting to do another thing. But you need to put your money away. You can't be living paycheck to paycheck. You have to understand that things change online, and the people that are making money now, check 4 years from now, and with the rules changing, see if they're still around. And if they are still around, I'm sure they're doing something different.
What inspired you to come up with that idea? I mean, what made you kind of launch your own program? Where did the kind of idea appear from? What inspired you?
People always, at that time, and they still do, talk about starting a podcast. And I first considered doing an audio podcast, but then I thought, hey, I don't mind being on video. It's not a problem for me. So why not do something where I always feel like video, you can really get to understand and understand the person that you're seeing a lot more. In interviews that you do, it's a lot easier to be able to understand if the person's angry with you or if they're actually interested in the topic that you're talking about, if they're bored with it. Like, you can always kind of understand that the person that you're interviewing and be able to get a better idea of questions to ask them. So anyways, I saw an interview with Corbett Barr and David Siteman Garland. Corbett Barr, he has a website. It used to be called Think Traffic. I think he just changed it. David Siteman Garland has a website called therisetothetop.com. David does interviews there with mediapreneurs, and at his website, he has a course called Create Awesome Interviews. I took that course a cost me about $500, which was a little bit expensive for me at the time. I was like, $500 for a course? That's a lot. Took the course thinking, okay, if it sucks, I'll just refund it. But it was a fantastic course. Really enjoyed it. Obviously never refunded it. And yeah, that kind of kickstarted my interview career.
It's the really in thing at the moment to get your products out there, to get your service out there. And it's a really nice way of communicating because you're obviously tapping into your audience's senses more than one sense at a time. Like you've got your visual and you've got your audio at the same time as well. How do you feel that your videos have made an impact in the marketing world?
I get a lot of emails from people. I mean, when I first started out, I would put out a video and no one would watch it. Like it was, I think maybe my mom would watch it, but it wasn't that impactful. Over time, and I've been doing this for about almost a year and a year and a half now, and it's my viewership has gone up, my email list has gone up, and it's definitely been able to differentiate my website, my content from what everyone else is doing out there in the affiliate marketing world. I'm very honest about what I do. I interview people that release products, and I make my income through affiliate commissions from people that buy the products that we talk about on the show. I think it's the way that the videos have helped is there's a sense of honesty. People understand that I'm not a used car salesman, that I'm not just out there to take their money. I'm there to provide value and also to make a living as well. And I think it's important to have that transparency in your business.
Point you've mentioned where at the beginning no one watches. That's exactly with my dream show as well. I was doing it 5 times a week and no one was coming on watching it. And it can be quite demotivating when you start up. But I think the key and the secret is to kind of do it and carry on doing it and keep consistent at it. And then that's how your brand builds. So do you feel that you've got a very good relationship, not overnight, but over time then?
With my audience?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I understand over time by doing the shows, it's really interesting. Even now, even with my interviews that I did earlier this week, what I'll do is I'm able to understand what my audience is interested in, not just by asking them, which I do sometimes. I'll send out an email and ask them what they want to learn about. But if I put out an interview about a certain topic, let's say making money with YouTube marketing, and I don't get a lot of views on it, I don't get a lot of clicks on my emails, then I know, okay, well, my audience isn't very interested in that. Let's focus on this other topic. Maybe it's CPA marketing or Facebook marketing. This is what they're clicking on. This is what they're watching. And this is what they're buying. So I know that if they're doing those different actions, that I should be giving them content focused on that. And that's something I'm learning every single day. I'll think that my audience is going to go crazy for something. I'll think that, okay, this is going to be a topic that they love, and they end up not loving it. But I think the most important thing, over time, my audience has become more like me in the fact that the people that stick with you, the people that don't unsubscribe to your emails, the people that come back to your website, the people that click on your Facebook links, those are the people that are relating to you, that you've touched something with them, and they're going to stick with you. The ones that leave, it's okay. They're welcome to leave, but the ones that stay with you, those are the ones that are going to be more like you, and because of that, when I pick someone to come on my show, in the beginning I was like, oh, well, this person's really cool, they're really famous, like everyone's going to want to learn about them, I'm not really interested in them, but let's just have them on. It's not like that. I pick the people that I really want to talk to, the products that I'm really interested in, and that makes it that much better, because if I'm interested, then my audience is usually interested as well.
Excellent, excellent. It's a fabulous point you made, because people join people, don't they, Michael? I mean, it's not systems or products. You know, if they like and they trust you and they're watching your videos and you're being consistent and you're being real about these products where you actually try them and have real interest and you're delivering that content, you're the middle person where you bridge the gap between the marketer and the person that wants to try the product, and you kind of give your own perception on it. It adds that magic touch to it. So excellent, thank you very much, Michael. We've got a question. Starting up my own program, the only thing that I worry about is being denied of an interview. Can Michael advise me the best way to approach top marketers without the big no?
You're gonna get no's from people, especially in the beginning. My advice at first is not to go after the big marketers. If you try to go out, whatever niche you're in, it could be internet marketing, it could be phishing, it could be celebrities. I mean, I've seen shows about all kinds of things all over the place. If you try to go after the big people first, you might get a yes. Who knows? But if you start with maybe some of the lower people and work your way up, it's going to be better, because you can practice on some of the people that maybe you're not so nervous to interview. Because you might be nervous if you have this big person on the show, but if you have someone at a lower level or maybe the same level as you, then you're not going to be as nervous, the interview's going to go better, and who cares if you make mistakes? Who cares if you ask some dumb questions, and no one's going to care. You know why no one's going to care? Because no one's going to watch, because it's going to be your first episodes. So make your mistakes, learn with the first people, then once you get to that point where you think, okay, I want to connect with this big guy, how to get in contact with them. First, you want to email them, and usually you can find their email or a contact form on their website. If they don't respond to you, get them on Facebook and get them on Twitter. Go to LinkedIn, wherever you can find them. Get them on Skype. One thing that I usually do if I'm trying to reach out to a person that's launching a product is that I will, if they don't have their contact information on the JV page, on the affiliate page, I'll sign up for their list, and then once you sign up to their list, you'll get a response from their autoresponder, and you can just send an email right back to that.
Excellent tip there, Michael. Thank you so much. And Michael, you've developed a library of just under 350, if I'm correct, interviews.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Right, the last thing I heard from you is you developed a library of about 350 interviews.
Oh, bless you. 350 interviews. I was just saying, are they just one-off interviews now and recorded and just gone? Or can you kind of market them, use them for different strategies? Because there's content and it's rich information. How would you reuse that for your other marketing?
I don't use it. I leave it on my site as a way of bringing in traffic through search engine optimization. Those interviews are there on in the WordPress website. They're also there on YouTube, and the YouTube videos link back to the interviews themselves. So as a strategy, I just leave them there. They've already got affiliate links on them. So if I was going to put them into some kind of package, it doesn't really make sense, because they're already monetized. And they're already people aren't going to want to buy interviews that are already about a specific product, and they're already promoting products in their own. But I have done a product called Product Launch Confessions, where I interviewed 12 product creators about the launching process, and I released that as its own special product. And that was something that you can't just You can't just download. You have to actually be part of the members area to get access to. So I think when it comes to members content and free content, there needs to be, I think members content needs to be very 100% content. It needs to just be no affiliate products promoting, no other programs. It just needs to be value, value, value. And it needs to be actionable as well.
Cool. Obviously, you're interviewing different levels of entrepreneurs, highly successful ones. For your own kind of personal growth, have you learned a lot from your own shows?
I learned so much from my own show. That's one of the best things about doing the show is that I get access. Because of the nature of interviews that I do, I'm very much interested in all these different products that are being released all the time. Some of them are crappy, some of them are fantastic, but I get to see them all. I've got my finger on the pulse. Yes. I get to know what's going on, what's hot, what's not. It's really fun for me. I get to go through all the courses in my own time, and I've learned so much information just by doing my job. I'm in essence paid to study internet marketing and what I'm doing.
Beautiful.
So I love it, and I've learned tons of things. I've learned about networking, which is one of the things that we didn't talk about. The fact that when you do interviews, you're going to be connecting with so many different people in your niche that you're going to get connected in a way that other people can only do if they are attending things like conferences. And for people like myself, where I'm living in Europe, yes, and I can't get to a lot of these conferences that are occurring maybe in the UK or in the US, it's the second best way and that I can be able to make all these friendships and relationships with people.
Excellent, excellent, Michael. I know your time is very, very short, and I'll try and keep it as content as possible. But the main question that I do get asked is that equipment-wise, when starting up, does a person need to invest in heavy equipment at home, or can they just start with a camera, a laptop camera, or a microphone? You know, simple as that. Does it have to be overcomplicated?
In a perfect world, if you were going to start out doing this and you were like, okay, I don't have a computer yet, or I'm thinking about getting a new computer, and I'm thinking about just getting a basic good setup, I would say do it with a MacBook. The software programs out there for it are great, and it just works seamlessly. But if you don't have a MacBook, that's fine. You can do it with a PC. So as far as equipment goes, you need a microphone, but you don't need to buy a really, really expensive one. The one I use is called a Blue Yeti. Mm-hmm. I can move it here. It's just a basic microphone. It costs, I think it was like under $100, and my camera, it's a Logitech C920. Right. It's really high quality. Right now it's dark here, but if we had natural light, the video quality would be excellent. Even without natural light, it's still pretty good. But you need to just have some basic equipment. You can spend less than $200 or less than £100 for that, and you'll be set. But yeah, don't go out there, especially in the beginning, because who knows? You might not like doing interviews. You might hate it. So you don't want to go out there and invest in all the equipment. The equipment's not the important part. The important part is the content.
Exactly, exactly, 100% right. I'm coming up to the end, but I will definitely try and get Mike on the show again sometime. Michael, as you are on the I Have a Dream show, can I ask you to share your dream with the audience? Where are you going in the next, 5-6 years? What is your purpose?
Next 5-6 years, I'd like to it's very income focused, and just because when I have the income coming in, when I have the money in the bank, it just makes it so that I'm freer to try out more things with my business. I'm able to try out different methods. Right now I'm hopping into and trying to do some paid traffic methods that I think are, it's the best way to be able to go to that next level, but there's a learning curve and it's not cheap. You're gonna make some mistakes. So in the next 5 to 8 years to 10 years, I'd like to diversify my income portfolio. I'd like to increase my subscriber base and release more products. I'd like to be more active in releasing my own products so that I can increase my just my portfolio of things that I've actually created of value out there. Right now, yeah. I interview a lot of people that are creating their own products, but really, there's some of them out there that you can do, and anyone listening can do better. You just need to put your mind to it and do it yourself. So yeah, I'd like to do more products myself.
Excellent, excellent. Well, may your dreams come true very, very quickly. I just want to say thank you so much, Michael, for your time. I know it's very, very special to you. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in and asking questions. Mike's show will be available throughout the week, and you can actually invite your friends or family or anyone that you know that will benefit from this show that will want to start up as a mediapreneur. So Mike's given some amazing content out, and he's given some amazing advice. But wow, thank you very much. Guys, start up. You know, what are you waiting for? I mean, build your foundation. Go out there. It's not expensive to do. Just go out and get a camera and a mic and just start sharing content. And the more you share content, guys, the more you develop as well, because you become a master of what you teach and learn. So, you know, it's an incredible way of doing things. And you actually own your own products, which is amazing. You can actually form your own product line as well and brand yourself. So, excellent. Thank you very much, Michael, for your time.
Thanks for having me on. It was lots of fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show. And don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show, and leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well so you don't miss another episode and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.